Here's a new kind of question and answer game. If you get most of them right, all we can say is... you sure have been wasting your time picking up a lot of useless information. Check the right answers on the score pad with a dull pencil, and after each 10 questions, we'll give you the answers. Maybe you're the nickel knowledge champion of the neighborhood. Who knows? Who cares? Questions.
What unpleasant personal problem did this sound warn you about?
On what radio show were people glued to hear, "This is the case of Mrs. J.B.? All right, madam, your problem, please."
Who was the long-suffering dowager who, for money, endured the slings and arrows of the Marx Brothers?
Here's an easy one. A pop tune based on a classic. We'll have more of these. What was the world of tomorrow?
Remember Pebbico? What would you do with it?
What was it they used to say about the Washington senators? First in war, first in peace, and you take it.
What soap opera heroine's troubles were introduced by this theme?
Who said,
"Monkeys is the craziest people"?
Where would you find these characters? The Hungry Tiger and the Sawhorse.
Answers.
The Foghorn warned you about... B.O. The man who helped Mrs. J.B., no names, please, was Mr. Anthony.
The Marx Brothers' buxom and bejeweled heroine was Margaret Dumont. The pop tune? I'm always chasing rainbows. Thank you, Mr. Chopin.
The World of Tomorrow, the New York World's Fair, 1939-1940 edition. Pepico was a toothpaste, so you'd probably brush your teeth with it.
Washington was first in war, first in peace, and last in the American League. Things haven't changed much.
Claire de Lune meant the story of Mary Marlin.
Lou Lair thought that monkeys was the craziest people.
The Hungry Tiger and the Sawhorse could be found in the Land of Oz. No, not the Wizard of. There were 38 Oz books in all.
Questions. Don't touch that dial. Listen to who?
The theme was classical and the song was...
What was Rosebud?
Which famous humorist said, "California's a great place to live if you're an orange"? Who wrote along with that sound?
Who was Albert Mitchell? What Variety headline proclaimed, "Rural residents are adverse to attending motion pictures set in rural locales"?
Where could Yetta Samovar be found?
Where did Lucky Strike Green go? What was Don Burnham's principal activity?
Answers?
Don't touch that dial. Listen to Blondie. The song... The Breeze and I. Rosebud, the flexible flyer of its day, was a sled. Its owner, the well-known Citizen Kane.
It was Fred Allen who wanted to give California back to the oranges. Fred Allen again, or Ed Wynn, or Milton Berle went along with that fire siren, whoever was being sponsored by Texaco Fire Chief Gasoline at the time. The question, who was Albert Mitchell? The answer man.
When Variety announced that rural residents were adverse to attending pictures set in rural locales, they said it like this, Hicks, Nicks, Sticks, Picks. Yet a Samovar could be found only in a book by Max Schulman, Barefoot Boy with Cheek. Lucky Strike Green went to war. Mr. Don Burnham, immortalized by Ray Milland in The Lost Weekend, drank. Questions. And remember the announcer who announced, Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, Hubert Heaver. Who is he?
A happy introduction to a radio serial. Which one? Which reminds us, among the four-legged celebrities, there was Asta, who was at the other end of his leash.
And Sandy? Hint, also a dog.
And who was Pete? Same genus, same species.
What was it chased away that villain, Mr. Coffee Nerves?
The theme was long hair. The song was short hair. The name was... What great lady said, Come on, Beulah, peel me a grape.
That was the theme of what rather odd team.
Once there was a baseball player well known as the Mad Russian, perhaps less well known as whom?
Answers?
Mr. Hubert Heaver was presented to you by Mr. Harry Von Zell. The wolf howl meant that Renfrew of the Mounted was following. Asta's dog license was paid for by the Thin Man. Arf, said Sandy, the large and loyal canine sidekick of Little Orphan Annie.
Pete was the non-child star of Our Gang, or, in more current parlance, the Little Rascals. Enter postum. Exit Mr. Coffee Nerves. The song was Moon Love.
The grape was peeled for a lady who occasionally did the same, Miss Mae West. The theme song was that of an unlikely duet, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. The Mad Russian of baseball was an occasional outfielder named Lou Novikov.
Questions.
Then there was little Kathy Fiscus, who held the entire nation breathless for a few days by doing what? Who followed that?
He said it and he meant it. Who was he? Anyone who hates children and dogs can't be all bad.
The Americans and Maroons made eight. Where did they fit in the scheme of things? Once upon a time, there was a little house halfway up on the next block. Who lived there?
Rachmaninoff's contribution to the hit parade. From the second piano concerto, it became...
Who was the inventor of the disintegrator and the gyrocosmic relativator?
And what did one do with an airway?
Marriage question. Who was the bride of Frankenstein? As long as we're on the subject of romance, in what motion picture did Charles Boyer invite a young lady to
come with me to the Casbah?
Answers.
Little Kathy Fiscus fell in a well, and unfortunately, the gong was followed by a mysterious gentleman named Omar the Mystic.
It was the great anti-temperance leader, Mr. W.C. Fields, who disliked, among many other things, children and dogs. The New York Americans and Montreal Maroons left the other six teams of the National Hockey League to skate around on their own when the two franchises went on ice.
Vic and Sade were the radio occupants of the little house halfway up on the next block. Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto became someone else's. Full Moon and Empty Arms.
Patents for the disintegrator and gyrocosmic relativator were held by Buck Rogers' egghead friend, Dr. Hewer. One vacuum cleaned with an airway.
Otherwise married to the late Charles Lawton, Elsa Lanchester was the bride of Frankenstein. Charles Boyer invited Hedy Lamarr to come with him to the Casbah in the film Algiers, based on the place of the same name.
Questions.
What was a Hooverville?
Who defied an FCC regulation by sending a personal greeting to his wife over a national radio network? The greeting, "How am I doing, Edna?"
One of the most famous ads of all time contained these words.
In every field of human endeavor, he that is first must perpetually live in the white light of publicity. Whether the leadership be vested in a man or in a manufactured product, emulation and envy are ever at work. That which is good or great makes itself known no matter how loud the clamor of denial. That which deserves to live, lives. What were they selling?
If they'd gotten a can of 3-in-1 oil, the whole effect would have been shot. This welcomed you into what?
Where would you find Fletcher Rabbit?
Who was Napoleon? Not Bonaparte. A dog. Listen. They're playing his theme song. Who was he?
While hanging up a God Bless Our Home sign, he turned his back and suffered the misfortune of being shot in it. The domestic gentleman's name, or the name of the movie in which this happened, they're the same.
Classical melody to pop again. This is our running gag.
Whose battle cry was, "Yoo-hoo, Mrs. Bloom!"
Answers.
Named for President Hubert Hoover, Herbert Hoover, Hoovervilles were cities of homemade shacks where many lived after the October 1929 episode. Not because of the housing shortage, because of a money shortage.
Edna was the wife of Schoolboy Rowe, a star pitcher for the Detroit Tigers, who had just beaten the St. Louis Cardinals in a World Series game. The genteel gashouse gang adopted the greeting, "How am I doing, Edna?" for their very own, and Mr. Rowe heard it repeated a few thousand times before the series was over.
The well-known ad, "The Penalty of Leadership," sold an awful lot of Cadillacs.
That squeaky door must have been mighty wide. Millions at a time were led through it into the inner sanctum by Raymond, your host.
Fletcher Rabbit, no Uncle Wiggily type he, could at one time be found on TV on the Kukla, Fran, and Ollie show.
Napoleon, a poor man's Afghan hound, appeared in the funnies with his master, Uncle Elby, in a comic strip named, coincidentally, Napoleon and Uncle Elby. His theme song was Polly Wally Doodle. He was just plain Bill, the serialized barber who could spend 7 15-minute episodes on just one haircut and a lot of lather.
Jesse James was doing the hanging of the God Bless Our Home sign. The melody that haunts your reverie was... My Reverie.